stop to think about our vision for the year, and really ties right in when you think about Jesus and what he said in Matthew 5:6. When he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And we've said from the beginning that our spiritual investment for 2020, what we desire to do is to invest in the Beatitudes. And why is that? Why would it be important for God's people to make an investment again in the Beatitudes, to go back and look at that character that Jesus taught, that heart that Jesus brought? Really, we can just learn it from our Lord, but he taught it in Matthew chapter 5 there in what we know of as the Beatitudes. And we want to invest in those things so that ultimately we can see, right, as God sees. That we can live our lives and be the people, not externally, not how people view us, but who we really are inside, who God really wants us to be. To be his people. You know, as Americans, many will say today that we are right now currently living in the most prosperous times in all of human history. Now, I don't know if true or not, but I know most would tell you today, the experts, we are living in some of the most prosperous times ever in human history. Us, right now. You'd be hard-pressed to find times that were any more prosperous than this right now. And for you and I to be hungry, or for us to think about hunger, or us to think about thirst, it's not a matter of danger. It's a matter of discomfort, isn't it? Now, I know there's some exceptions. Very few of us have ever been hungry here in America, and it was a dangerous situation. Now, if we were lost in the woods, maybe, right? We were lost in the woods when we were hunting, guys. We got a little thirsty. But in America, that's not really the problem. Hunger is discomfort to us. It's not dangerous. We don't look at hunger and thirst and go, "Boy, my life is threatened," right? That is unless you're a teenager. Have you ever watched a teenager eat? Just come on over to my house. It is an amazing thing. And you know what? We're no different. Joel's laughing. He remembers when he was a teenager. I remember coming home at maybe 15, 16 from school. After practice, you know, and you're hungry after practice. And I'd get a loaf of bread. And I'd put 4 pieces of bread and I'd lay them out there. And I'd grab that crunchy peanut butter. And I would spread it about 1/4 inch thick. And I would eat 2 sandwiches and maybe 2 to 4 glasses of milk, depending on how thirsty I was, right? And then after that, after eating all of that and drinking that milk, I'd go and I'd take 1.5 hour nap. Dad would come home from work. He'd wake me up just in time for dinner where I'd eat some more, right? You remember the days. We could eat when we were teenagers. But the truth is, in all reality for us, hunger is discomfort. It's really not dangerous to our lives. But if you were to take yourself and you were to go back to biblical times, go back to the Old Testament, and even the time Jesus teaches the Beatitudes, it was a whole different story. They knew what it meant to hunger. They knew what it meant to thirst. By the way, we know that Jesus even came and he talked a whole lot about spiritual food, but also he took care of their physical needs as well, didn't he? He fed 5,000 people. They were probably pretty hungry. They lived in a place and a time where food wasn't abundance like it is today. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have on their arid, dry desert pathways nice little drinking fountains for them to drink from. They knew what it meant to hunger. They knew what it meant to truly thirst. You know, you go back to the Old Testament and you study the King David, the King of Israel. He used to describe his desire of God this way. You know it, church. When you go back to the Psalms and you think of those Psalms, as he would say, and we sing a song, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God." His desire, he is saying, my craving, what I really long for, like a deer longs for that water brook. He says, my soul longs and thirsts for you, O God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? Psalm 42, 1 and 2. And here's another one that reveals the same heart. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, God was his longing. God was his desire. What I want to do is I want us to look Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 a little closer. As we listen to those words of Jesus, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now we know, church, that when God sent Jesus from heaven to earth, Jesus was sent as our spiritual food. Right? He came to feed the world, didn't he? To feed the world what? To feed the world God. To feed the world God's desires. His longing for every heart and every soul to come into humble submission and obedience to him. To live their lives for him. For that's what he made us for. That's what he made us for. We know Jesus had to come to this earth and he had to feed us. And we understand that it is a spiritual food. And I don't think anybody emphasizes this more than Jesus in John's gospel. If you have a minute, just go over there real quick. Go over to John 4. We're going to look at a few passages. And also John 6. You know the story, the setting where Jesus is there and he's sitting near a well, and a woman comes, right? A Samaritan woman. She comes there to draw water, doesn't she? And Jesus says something very odd. He looks at the woman. He probably never met her before. And he says to her in verse 7 of chapter 4, give me a drink. Give me a drink. And then they have a conversation because, Jesus has broken some barriers. We talked about breaking some tradition. In our class, he broke some tradition. First of all, Jews didn't interact with Samaritans, right? There was a problem, a long history of problem there. The Jews wouldn't interact, and she brought that up. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. But not only that, how about the barrier, the tradition of gender in his day? A man talking to a woman, but a woman from another group, another people, someone he didn't know. And she brings all of that up, and he says in verse 10, notice, jump down there, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who it was that said to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He'd have given you far more than what you expect. And then they have some more conversation, and you jump down to verse 13, and Jesus will answer the woman. He says, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. The water that you give, they're going to come back again and again. They're going to always thirst. But he said, whoever drinks the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. We understand this spiritual thought and idea that Jesus is bringing out here. If you were to look at chapter 6, we know there's a few texts there and there's other places, but I just want to share these just to make my point. If you look at chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said what? He said, I am the bread of life. Right? We talk about manna from heaven as we go back to Israel's history and God fed those people in the wilderness. Well, Jesus is a greater picture of that truth. Bread from God, bread from heaven to feed the world, Jesus says. Listen, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. See, he's saying, I will satisfy your ultimate longings and desires. Verse 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we understand, we all understand that Jesus was not solving the problem of a parched throat and a growling stomach. This was a desire. This was about the happiness, the blessed, right? Heaven's happiness. Happiness from God, being satisfied, having our longing satisfied in a moment that only God can provide. So wherever you're looking for happiness, I don't know. I don't know where your cravings and desires are. I don't know, God knows. But I hope you're longing and desiring for Him. Because that's what this is all centered around. Now back to the obvious question of the beatitude of those that hunger and thirst for righteousness are satisfied. What is this righteousness concept? W.E. Vines would say it this way, the character or quality of being right or just. It was formerly spelled right wiseness. I like that word. Right wiseness, the right wiseness. It made me think about the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world will not satisfy us. The wisdom of God will satisfy us. So he says, as it was spelled right wiseness, which, back to the definition, clearly expresses the meaning there. So we get an understanding of righteousness there. Righteousness also describes the very character and nature of our God. If you want to know who our God is, He is righteous. A righteous God. The psalmist will put it this way, the Lord is righteous in all His ways, and He is kind in all of His deeds. In Proverbs, I love this one from the wise one, the way of the wicked's abomination to the Lord, but He loves him who pursues what? Who pursues righteousness. God loves those that long for His righteousness and long for His ways. I was in Mexico as a teenager. That can be a bad place to be as a teenager, by the way. But it really wasn't at this time. I was with my family. We would go there every spring break for years. My dad would take us, take our family. And I remember we went to this restaurant. We went there and I was pretty thirsty. So as I usually did as a kid, I'd order a Coke. And I slurped down that Coke. But when I was done, I realized I was still thirsty. And so I ordered another one. I don't remember how many. I probably ordered 3 or 4 of them. And after about the 4th one, it dawned on us that something was going on in my body. Something wasn't right. I was truly thirsty and it was not being quenched. I was not satisfied. Now, we really realized I had a problem when we were in the taxi heading back to the resort and I became dizzy, got sick. I don't know exactly what I had, but I was extremely dehydrated and I had to spend 2 days back at the hotel while everyone was outside having fun in the sun and in the sand. I was in there recovering. But I understood in that moment what it really meant to truly be thirsty. All I wanted was for that thirst to be quenched. And after a couple days, it really was. But Jesus is using this to get us to see our need to really long for the things of God. What do you strongly desire today? What are your cravings? What are your longings? If what we are longing for and what we are desiring in this life isn't satisfying, and in this life the things won't satisfy us, it's the wrong things we're desiring. But all of God's goodness in Jesus is what our real desire and longing is. And when that is our desire, God somehow satisfies that longing in our heart. I can't explain it to you. That's His prerogative. That's His business. That's what He has promised and guaranteed. I will satisfy you if you truly hunger and you truly thirst for righteousness. In The Pursuit of Happiness by Zodiades, which is a resource, Spyro Zodiades, some of you probably have that, I found this and I thought it was interesting. Our Heavenly Father is constantly preparing food for us, and it is fresh each time we receive it. Each time we partake of it, we experience new enjoyment, and we look forward to getting hungry again so that He can satisfy us again. It went on to say, this word shall be satisfied also emphasizes the end of the accumulation of action. We are filled each time we hunger for righteousness. And this is effective filling. We have no sense of dissatisfaction or emptiness. But at the end of the road, we shall have accumulative satisfaction. So not only does God satisfy us each time in this life, but there's a greater satisfaction that we're getting to later. God promises, church, He will satisfy us if we will just hunger and thirst for Him. I think if there is a topic, if there is ever a topic in the Scriptures that opens our eyes to the importance of feeding on God's Word, I think hungering and thirsting for righteousness is the topic. You know, I remember the old Snicker commercial, Snickers really satisfies you. No, it doesn't. Scripture, according to Jesus, really ultimately, according to God's Word, it's Scripture, feeding on Scripture that's really going to satisfy us. Think back to Paul's words to Timothy when he said that all Scripture is inspired by God and it is profitable for three things. Remember those three things? Reproof, correction, and sometimes we quickly skip over the last one, training in righteousness. All Scripture has been given, notice the wording, to train us in righteousness. You know you have to be trained in righteousness? We train in it. In the righteousness of God. Because you see, all the feeding on His Word is great, but if we don't train in righteousness and the things that we use the idea of digestion, the things that we have taken within. If we haven't taken those things in, and it's one thing to learn them, it's another thing to live those things. To live out what it is that we've learned, there is the training part of it. The training in those things that are real simple, right? Like doing good for one another. So simple, those things like training it, being kind and showing compassion to our brothers and sisters, forgiving, loving each other, showing forbearance and patience and even tolerance. All those easy things, right? That we need to train in those ways. That's training in righteousness. And so it's so important to understand that it's not just a matter of taking these things in, but it's a matter of doing them as we talk about living out God's Word in our everyday life, training in His ways, teaching by example in words and deeds, and showing others how to do the same, bringing our hearts closer to God and helping others to do the same. You know what I think is the difference as I look at God's happiness in the happiness of our happy and being unhappy? Ultimately, God's happiness is heaven's happiness. To be blessed. You can't find it out there. You won't. You find it from God. But here's what I think is the difference. The unhappy in this world pursue happiness. That's what they pursue. And in that pursuit of happiness, they don't find God's happiness. But the truly happy, you know what they pursue? They pursue righteousness. And that is what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5, 6. For blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That is our lesson for today. And I hope I've given you something to take with you this week, to feed on His Word, to train in those things and in His ways, to get your heart right with God. We're going to stand as we always do. Tyler's going to lead us in song. And if we can encourage you today, if you want to become a Christian, if you're ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus, we ask you to come forward as we stand, as we sing the invitation song.